Psalm 87. My purpose here is just kind of to whet your appetite, because the more I got involved in the psalm and the more excited that I was getting about the psalm, the more questions I had, and I just started kind of going all the way from Genesis to Revelation and back and forth, and I realized that I may have bit off a big subject, but my goal isn't to give you a detail about the subject, but just to kind of give you an understanding here of the psalm. So what I want to do is kind of introduce, and hopefully as I introduce it, then I kind of generate something inside of you that says, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to hearing more details here about the psalm. So let's read this, Psalm 87, verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I shall make mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. That's an interesting psalm, isn't it? And of course, you picked up the hymn that we sung, Glorious Things Are Spoken of You, O City of God. And of course, the hymn writer, John Newton, says, City of Zion. And so what we have here is a psalm, and it's a wonderful psalm. And the thing that kind of arrested me mostly was in the middle of the psalm. But let me just kind of go through here and just point out some things. You get the capitalized word Lord in verse 2. This is Yahweh. This is God the Father loving the gates of Zion. And these gates are on a foundation, verse 1, that is in the holy mountains. Now, whatever this is that the psalmist is looking at, it is a structure that is more glorious, verse 2, than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Okay, see, everybody with me with that. Okay. Then it says, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, pause. So when we talk about a foundation in the holy mountains, and we're talking about the gates of Zion, we're talking about a dwelling place, what are we talking about, verse 3? We're talking about the city of who? The city of God. So here is this city. So the next question is, what are the characteristics of this city? And then we got verses 4 through 6. And what you'll notice in verses 4 through 6 is you have a verb here that is repeated three times. What is that word? Born. Everybody see that? Look in verse 4. This one was born there. Look at verse 5. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And then you have verse 6, the Lord will count when he registers the people, this one was born there. Everybody see that? Okay, so whatever this city is, whatever we're looking at here, and of course our first thoughts is Jerusalem. But whatever city we're looking at, the inhabitants of that city were people who were what? Who were born there. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, what it means to be born there is connected with something. It is connected with verse 4. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Everybody see that? Okay, here's these people who know God. Who are these people that know God? This one was born there. Who are these people? Well, in Zion, it's going to be said, this one and that one were born in her. And then, verse 6, when the Lord will count, when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. So you have three times you've got, they were born there. Is everybody following me? Okay, they're born there. Okay, and whatever the birth means, these people who are born there, they know God. Everybody see that? And that these are the peoples who are the inhabitants of the city of God. Okay. Now let's just look real briefly at verse 4. I shall mention Rahab. Now you may want to make a little note in your Bible there. This isn't Rahab the harlot. Rahab was another name for Egypt. Okay, and when we get there, I'll give you the reference for that. So, I'm going to substitute Egypt in there. God the Father says, I shall mention Egypt and Babylon among those who know me. Now, what's interesting about Egypt and Babylon is both of them have something in common. What is it? They were enemies of Israel. Egypt put them in bondage, right? Babylon came down and destroyed the city. So both of these people, the Egyptians and the Babylonians, okay, these people, they're going to know me. Israel's once enemies are going to know me. Well, what about this? Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia. What's interesting about these three? Well, they too were enemies. Okay. And it says that this one was born there. So here we have Israelites in this city. Because look at verse 5. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. So, do you have Jews in the city? Do you have Ethiopians in the city? Babylonians? Okay, now I'm going to sum up Rahab and Babylon and Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia with this word. Gentiles. These are Gentile people. So what you have here is that in this city is going to include not only those of Israel, but also Israel's historic Gentile enemies. And in verse 5, the Most High Himself is going to establish her. Now look at verse 6. The Lord, that's capitalized, the Lord will count when he registers the peoples. What peoples? Egypt, Babylon, Ethiopia, right? The enemies, Gentile people, of Zion, Jewish people. The Lord will count when he registers the peoples. And what is he going to say? This one was born there. Isn't that fascinating? And folks, what we know as we look at this, and what made me so excited, is that I realized that this was not talking about Jerusalem. This is the city of God. In other words, folks, this isn't the earthly Jerusalem. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. And we're going to look at some passages and we'll be done here with very little comment, just to kind of whet your appetite. Folks, how do you get into the heavenly Jerusalem? You got to be born again. Yes? In other words, if you're going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem, you have to be born from above, Jesus said. Are there going to be Gentiles in the heavenly Jerusalem?
Yes.
Are there going to be Jews?
Yes.
And let me ask you this. In verse 6, when it says the Lord will count when he registers the peoples, do you know what that is referring to? It's referring to roles of citizenship. Who are the citizens in this city? Those who have been born there. Born there. Okay, so everybody got that little skeleton framework here. Okay, you may not understand it all, but you got the little framework. Okay, I want to look at a couple of passages. I want to turn into a direct reference, not to this psalm, but to this in the book of Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading verse 21 just so that we can read some of the background here. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one of the free woman." Now, who was the bondwoman? Hagar, and she gave birth to
Ishmael.
Okay. Then you had the free woman, that was Sarah, and she gave birth to Isaac.
Thank you.
So here we have these two women here. Verse 23. "But the son by the bondwoman," that's Hagar, "was born according to the flesh. And the son by the free woman through the..." All right, now let's pause here. Promise. Where did the promise come from?
God.
Okay, where's he at? He's in heaven. In other words, the promise came from not below, but above. Verse 24, Paul says, "This is allegorically speaking. For these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves." She is who? She's Hagar. Verse 25. "Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present" what? Everybody see that? So you got the law. It was given on top of a mountain. God established his earthly presence in the city of Jerusalem under that dispensation. And it says in verse 25, "For she is in slavery with her children." Now look at verse 26. "But the Jerusalem" where? Is everybody seeing that in their Bible? Galatians 4, verse 26. "The Jerusalem above." So is there a below Jerusalem? Is there an above Jerusalem? There is. "The one that is above is free." Now, can you finish reading verse 26?
"She is our mother."
She is our mother. Well, folks, if she's our mother, that means we have been born from her. Right? Isn't that what a mother means?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's Mother's Day. This isn't complicated. Okay? All the mothers have children, and all the children say, "That one in that house, that's my mother." We're born from above. Jesus said that, didn't he? from the Jerusalem that is above, and she's our mother. And we can say, I'm born, and there's my mother way up there. And that Jerusalem's on a mountain too. Does everybody see that? Okay. And then he quotes here, he says, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. That's amazing. And here's what's amazing. Are you ready? Did Hagar give birth? She had any issues with that? Abraham went in. She conceived. She gave birth. Very natural. Yes. What about Sarah? Could she give birth? She was barren. And she was beyond childbearing years. She was the desolate one. But did she give birth? She gave birth, and that birth is going to be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Everybody see that? Okay, so there you got the desolate, the barren, the not. All right? So here, my point is, I'm talking about a city. The city of God. The citizens in that city have to be born there. And Paul is explicitly noting that for us. Now, in this context, he's not speaking to Gentiles because, frankly, we would have no concept of this. But the Jews would have. The Jerusalem that is above is our mother. Okay? Now, let's go on. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Now follow this carefully. By going out to a place which he was to receive for a inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. All right, what's he looking for? In verse 8, what's he looking for? He's looking for an inheritance. All right, now verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Why did he dwell in tents in a foreign land, according to verse 10? He was looking, everybody see this? He was looking for a what? Which has foundations. Who's the architect? And who constructed this city? God did. Does everybody see that? Folks, I used to read this and I used to think to myself, that is so strange. He's going out to a land and he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Was he actually looking for, you know, like, you know, you walk up, there's a sign. City of God, architect, God, builder, God. I don't think so. I think he was looking for the same city you and I are looking for. Are we looking for one on earth? Where is the city we're looking for? It's in heaven. A city whose builder and maker is who? Is God. Everybody see that? So he's looking for a city. So we keep reading. Verse 13. These all died in faith without receiving the promises. Did Abraham ever on earth get to the city whose builder and maker was God? No. They all died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a what? Country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from whence they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. All right, what kind of country, according to verse 16?
Heavenly one.
A heavenly country. Everybody see that? Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because they're looking for a heavenly country. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a... There it is. Where's the city, according to that verse? It's in heaven. Where's the country? It's in heaven. Abraham lived his whole life confessing that he was living for another time and another place. And he went through his whole life with an eager hope of seeing that city whose builder and maker is God. Did he ever see it? Yes, he's in heaven. He received that promise. And he's there. And folks, what are you waiting for? Are you living for this world? Are you looking for earthly inheritance? Or are you looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? Where would that be? It's in heaven. And the writer of Hebrews is going to bring this out in chapter 12, verse 22. He says, You have come to Mount Zion. Okay, now in the Psalm, it was the city of God. And those of Zion say, is Zion on a mount? It says Mount Zion, right? Verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. What's the name of the city? Jerusalem. Where's it at? It's in the heavens. Everybody see that? The heavenly Jerusalem. Who else is there? Angelic beings. Who else is there? The General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now note this. Who are what in heaven? Do you remember in Psalm 87 when it says, and the Lord will count those who are registered there. And He will say that they have been born here. So who gets into the city? Those who have been born here. Those who have been born from above. Those whose mother is the heavenly what? The heavenly Jerusalem. Not the one down here below. So He continues on. Who are enrolled in heaven and to God. God is there. He's the judge of all. Who else is there? Spirits of the righteous made perfect. Who else is there? To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Everybody see that? And folks, this city is a city that can be shaken. All the universe is going to be shook one day. That city won't be shook. Will the earthly Jerusalem be shook? Yes, not the heavenly one. Now let's conclude by turning to the end of our Bible and looking at Revelation 21. We won't read chapters 21 and 22, which are speaking about this city. But look at chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. Pause. Where are we at now? Are we in the millennium? No. This is a new heaven and a new earth. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? The first heaven and the first earth pass away, and there is no longer any sea. Verse 2. And I saw what? I saw the holy city. What is this city? The New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from who? So folks, in Psalm 87, as we go back there, and he says, there's some debate whether verses 1 and 2 is referring to the earthly Jerusalem or not. But let's just read it. His foundation, God's foundation, Yahweh's foundation is in the holy mountains. Yahweh loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. So where's this city? It's in heaven. Whose city is it? It's God's city. Who made it? Who architected? Who built it? He did. And does it not make sense that the Lord loves those gates? He does. And who are the people that are going to inhabit this city?
People.
Only people who have been born there. These are people who are born from above. And folks, that's why he says, you know, in that city, Egyptians who have been born there are going to be there. Babylonians who have been born there are going to be there. And you know what's great about these Gentile people? They know me. And folks, the new covenant says they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, United States, Russians, Japanese, those who have been born of our mother above, they'll be there. Any Jews be there? Absolutely. And folks, there's a register there. And this is why Paul writes to the Philippians, your citizenship is in heaven. You hear that? You hear that phrase? Your citizenship is in heaven. And some people call this, in verse 6, this registry of the Lord, Yahweh's registry, or some people say Yahweh's book. And folks, sometimes that is referred to in our Bible as the book of life. And do you recall that in that judgment day, the Bible says, all those whose names are not written in the book of life shall be what? They shall be cast into eternal hell. Glorious things about this city. Do you realize the gates are made out of pearl? How big is the biggest pearl you ever seen? I don't think any of you could squeeze through that. Think about a pearl so big that you can walk through it. And there's 12 gates and 12 foundations. And God is there. And that city is going to come out of heaven with all of its citizenry. And it's going to come on a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to say, behold, God is with man. No separation forever and ever. Glorious things of thee are spoken, O Zion, city of God. Let's pray.